You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880. The following Lutheran Hour sermon was presented by Dr. Dale Meyer. Its title is Words of Love, TV. And now here's Dr. Meyer.
So, you're getting married this month? I want to wish you God's richest blessings upon your marriage. I pray that your life together will be long and filled with love. Oh, some of you aren't getting married this month? You're already married. You were married. You may be married in the future, but no prospects now. Please don't think that you're left out. I wish you God's blessings, too. The fact is, whatever your marital status, we're all involved in marriage in one way or another. Marriage is a basic component of our society. We all benefit when God blesses marriage. This month, I especially think of you who soon will be married. I assume you want God's blessing. A study by the Graduate School of the City University of New York found that 96% of Americans believe in God. You're probably in that 96%. So I say, I'm pretty sure you want God's blessing. Even more, the chances are very good that you'll have your wedding ceremony performed in a church. The same study found that 86.5% of Americans identify themselves with some denomination. So you'll probably be standing in front of a church altar seeking God's blessing. God's the right one to bless your marriage because God is the author of marriage. He started it. So He's the one who can rightfully claim to teach you words of love. Genesis chapter 2 tells how God started marriage. Perhaps these words will be read in your wedding ceremony. Genesis reports that the Lord God said, "It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him." Now the Lord God had formed out of the ground all the beasts of the field and all the birds of the air. He brought them to the man to see what he would name them, and whatever the man called each living creature, that was its name. So the man gave names to all the livestock, the birds of the air, and all the beasts of the field, but for Adam no suitable helper was found. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep, and while he was sleeping, He took one of the man's ribs and closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib He had taken out of the man, and He brought her to the man. The man said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh." The God who started marriage is omnipresent, omnipotent, and omniscient. Pretty big words, huh? These three big words can help you appreciate why God, rightfully, should be the one teaching you the true words of love. The big word omniscient means that God knows everything. He knew that it wasn't good for Adam to be alone, so God created Eve and brought her to the man to make the first married couple. The omniscient God created marriage because He knows the difficulties of our lives. Omnipotent means that God is all-powerful. It was the omnipotent, all-powerful God who created the world. This powerful God made Adam. Knowing, as God did, that it wasn't good for the man to be alone, God used His power, His omnipotence, to create woman. The omnipotent God uses His great power for our benefit. Now the third big word. God is omnipresent. He is present everywhere. Just as God was with Adam during Adam's bachelor days, just as God was with Adam and Eve in their marriage, so the omnipresent God wants to be with you. whether you're married or single. Omnipresent, omnipotent, omniscient, three words that reinforce the fact that God is the one to teach us words of love. This great God has your best interests in mind. Therefore, it's only logical that if you want to do your marriage right, you'll learn about words of love from God. But do you? Where have your attitudes about love and marriage come from? You don't come into marriage with an empty mind. Over the years, your mind has been filled with all sorts of attitudes about love and marriage. You've picked up ideas about how you're supposed to feel when you're in love. You imagine the words you'll say and the words you'll hear when you fall in love. All these ideas about love and marriage that have seeped into your mind over the years are going to be put to the test. Hey, a wedding ceremony is a simple thing. The tough thing is whether or not the attitudes about love and marriage that you've picked up over the years are going to stand the test of marriage. Where have you picked up your ideas about love? From God or from someplace else? Many of us have learned words of love from someplace other than God. We modern people pay attention to something that seems omniscient, omnipotent, and omnipresent. We treat this thing as if it were God. What is this thing? It's TV. The most influential teacher about love today is the TV. TV is our modern love guru. Today's love guru is omnipresent. 98% of American homes have TVs. One-fourth of the average family's leisure time is spent before the TV. The average American watches more than 4 hours of TV per day, while the average household keeps a set on more than 7 hours a day. TV is every place. It's omnipresent. This love guru also seems omnipotent. George Gerbner of the Annenberg School of Communication says, "If you can write a nation's stories, you needn't worry about who makes its laws." Many people have endowed TV with omniscience. The cartoon character Homer Simpson once said, "The answers to life's problems aren't at the bottom of a bottle. They're on TV." Here's the love guru that's teaching so many people the false words of love. So now I'll repeat my earlier question. Where have you been picking up your ideas about love and marriage over the years? Your knee-jerk reaction might be to say, "Oh, from God, from God." Really? Even for you who believe in God, the real answer may be from TV. Do you go to church? What's 1 hour in church compared to all the hours you spend in front of the tube? Oh, you're going to be married in a church? In fact, you even had to go through some pretty extensive premarital counseling? What's that compared to years and years of seeing and hearing TV's ideas about love and marriage? You believe in God. That's good. However, the possibility is very strong that TV, not God, has shaped your ideas about love. John Murray, member of a task force that studied television for the American Psychological Association, said, "It is sad we have never as a society taken the impact of TV seriously. One of the things that we had better take seriously is TV's definition of family. TV has been quietly pouring into our heads the idea that family is simply a group of people who care about each other." Watching America is the title of a recent book by three authors, S. Robert Lichter, Linda S. Lichter, and Stanley Rothman. Some of the things I'm sharing with you, like the Homer Simpson quotation, come from this very informative book. Now here's another quotation from Watching America. A TV producer named Bill Persky defines family this way: "Any group of people that cares about one another and protects one another is family." Does that sound harmless? There's nothing wrong with people caring for and protecting one another. There's nothing wrong with people at your office or your club saying, we're one big happy family. But is family and marriage to be defined simply as people who care for one another? Is it family when two homosexuals live together and love and protect one another? Is it okay when two married people have affairs on the side, justifying it by saying that they still love and care for one another? Is the definition of marriage in the family something that human beings establish, or does it come from God? Are we the judges of what words of love are right and what words are wrong, or does the Creator teach that to us in His Word? In an episode of Cagney and Lacey, Cagney said, "Family isn't what you're born into, it's what you make of it." Are you going to learn the words about married love from God, or are you going to be hoodwinked by TV's definition? TV usually doesn't directly attack what God has taught us about marriage. Instead, TV works like a termite. While we get turned off by the sex and violence, we don't notice the real damage being done as TV redefines what marriage is. As the authors of Watching America wrote, "In this regard, TV's sex life typifies the medium's approach to social relations. As a leading form of mass entertainment, television rarely mounts the barricades. Instead, it breaks down barriers one by one." TV has done a pretty good job of breaking down the barriers over the years. Is there any hope? Yes, there is, if you'll resolve to learn the words of love from God. God's as interested in your marriage as He was in Adam and Eve's. The omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent God cared very much about Adam and Eve. Today He cares about you and me just as much. What you have to do is make an effort to learn and apply His words of love to yourself and to your marriage. God's care for you is seen in the fact that the institution of marriage continues. Though it has suffered much in the last generation, marriage does continue, and there are plenty of good, God-blessed marriages. God doesn't walk out of marriage. The trouble is that too many of us don't turn off the TV to hear Him speak. God's care for you is seen in an even greater way than the continued existence of marriage. When you're conducting your marriage according to God's words of love, you see that marriage is more than merely help to get us through this life. Marriage, according to God's words of love, is a reflection of His love for each one of us in His Son, Jesus Christ. You and I are sinners. Sin has divorced us from God. It's like we packed up our bags and moved out on God. We told Him we could do better on our own. We could do better defining love and marriage in our own way. We could do better, we thought, being independent rather than relying on our Creator. But look at the love of God. He sent Jesus Christ to wash away our sins by shedding His blood on Calvary's cross. Jesus rose so that you can have life in His name, no matter how bad a sinner you've been. No matter what your marital track record has been, Jesus brings you forgiveness and life. Jesus has accomplished a reconciliation between God and you. So the Savior wants your marriage to reflect His words of love. When a marriage is working out the way it should, it'll be a marriage that is focused on the truth that the omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent God has come into our hearts and home in the love of the Savior Jesus Christ. St. Paul says, "Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for her, to make the church holy by using water together with the word to wash her clean. He did this so that He could present her to Himself as a glorious church, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Yes, He did this so that she might be holy and without fault." None of us gets marriage totally right. But the more you learn words of love from God rather than from the TV, the more you'll discover that Christian marriage provides you with a place, a warm, intimate place, to share with one another the words of love that God has spoken to every sinner through Jesus Christ. So, what's it going to be for you? The misleading and false assumptions about love that TV has quietly been promoting? You can see what that has done for our society. Or, would you rather choose to learn the lessons of love from the great God who authored marriage and who sent Jesus Christ to save you and to bless your marriage with His benediction? Which is it to be for you? I know where I'll learn my words of love. Like Joshua said long, long ago, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Amen.
Hope you've enjoyed this message. The Lutheran Hour is a listener-supported ministry of the International Lutheran Layman's League.